Hi, I'm Dr. Safiya, the medical doctor with the Wusas and Email Marketing Expert. In here, I take you behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. You get to see what these amazing individuals have tried that worked and didn't work in email marketing. If you've been curious and like me, you want to know what other people out there are really doing in email marketing, then join me as I go behind the scenes. Today, I have the host of the Better Brief podcast with over 160 published episodes, a former teacher turned multi-passionate entrepreneur and stay-at-home mom, a podcast host and mentor, and she's going to be teaching us how she built her email podcast funnel that drives engagement and conversions. Maybe it's not going to be a class lesson, but we're definitely going to be going behind the scenes to see just what she did and how she made it work. Welcome to the show, Candace. It's so good to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Now, before we dive into the behind the scenes of your email marketing podcast funnel, I would like to hear a bit about your story. I mean, you went from classroom to podcast host and producer to helping and supporting entrepreneurs to grow their businesses by guesting on podcasts. Right? And you've made over 30 plus guest appearances just this year too. So how did that come about?
Sure. Yes. Like you said, I was a teacher and I didn't dislike teaching, but I had three kids of my own back to back to back. That's when I realized I was coming home and really exhausted. I realized that I didn't like how I felt, the version of me that was showing up at home. I felt like my kids were getting my leftovers. So during that time, I'd also I was running a full side business, I guess, if you will, in network marketing, a wellness community, because I was postpartum and feeling isolated and alone and thinking I should be so happy. And this is something I really, really wanted was to be a mom. And here I am. And anyways, that was kind of my gateway into entrepreneurship, sort of a crash course. I'm not affiliated now, but taught me a lot of lessons. And it's also 4 years ago now when my podcast was born, because I was hosting a wellness accountability group for women, moms especially, and I felt like my story wasn't being shared. I had gotten into personal development. I started listening to podcasts and I thought I should start one. And I was nervous. I thought, I don't have a story to share. I'm boring. No one's going to want to listen. I'll run out of things to say, you know, all of those doubts that we have. But I did it because I had thought about it for a year. I had Googled and Googled, and eventually, it was just on a nap time when I was like, I know that I'm going back to school here in a month. And if I don't take action, I'm going to be here in the same spot next year. And I don't want that. So that's how it was born, to really give a voice to motherhood and entrepreneurship and just throw out some mindset tips and things along the way. And it's really transformed into entrepreneurship, female entrepreneurship, and podcasting, because that's just really where my heart fell and lies. And so it is transformed over time, but that's kind of how it started. And I left the classroom 3 years ago now to slow down life, really, but also pursue my own business and entrepreneurial things that happen to be in podcasting.
Wow, that's amazing. Congratulations on 4 years going strong. That's a lot of consistency right there. And I can totally relate to Googling, because I mean, when I was starting this podcast, I remember checking for every and anything. And I think that was also part of how we connected, because you gave me some really good tips on Threads. Thank you for that. So let's go into this experiment, what you were testing, what you tried out. So you've built this email podcast funnel for yourself and it has helped you drive engagement and conversion. But before we go into it, I want us to take a step back and I want to ask, what role does email marketing play in your business today?
It's a big role. I know that it's one of the things that gets opened the most and seen the most. I have a very good open rate. It's over 40%. I know that you're big on numbers and tracking that, so I had to look that up for this episode, but it is something where you can send out a new podcast episode, send out a little teaser of it to say, hey, if this interests you, like head over and hit play. So it pairs with my podcast where one directs the other to the other, if that makes sense. So my emails will direct people to listen to my podcast episodes where I have tons of free value and lots of great things and stories being shared over there. And then my podcast will also send people at times to my email list to get on that and to download a free resource, things like that, that are all connected and sort of work for me behind the scenes because I am a solopreneur. I'm doing this on my own, right? As well as being a mom and all the things. So you're short on time. And so we really need to, I think, be double dipping. And that's kind of what I've created with that. So scheduling all my episodes and then scheduling my emails to go with it, they kind of go hand in hand. And I like to overlap that content. It keeps my messaging very clear and consistent in that way as well.
That's great. That's great. So if you were to give your email marketing a job description, from what you said so far, would you say it's more of like a lead generation tool, conversion tool, nurturing, or maybe a mix of all of them currently?
A little bit of all of that. Definitely it's a place where I nurture. I share stories. I try to think of my email list as if I would be texting a best friend. I was given that advice one time. And I know there's tons of advice out there for email marketing. And I love your podcast of how you're sharing all kinds of it. But for me, what felt the most authentic and natural was to treat my email list like it was texting a best friend. And I would text a best friend and say, hey, guess what? I just released another episode. It's on this. Or I have a guest on the show. I'm super excited. She was awesome. And I also would share tough things or funny stories. And so I try to do that. And so that's where that nurture piece comes in, but it is also a business tool. And so, yeah, it is tied into my lead generation because it's where my free resources get kicked out. So if someone downloads my podcast guesting starter guide, they're going to get on my email list too. So it does go kind of hand in hand, but I definitely love the nurture piece that kind of your email list might get a little bit more of the behind the scenes than maybe social media might.
Awesome. Now, before we go into this system you created for yourself, which is like over 1 year old, I'm just curious, how were you doing, you know, email marketing before, say in the early years of your business or when you first started?
In the beginning, I was treating my podcast as sort of a side project that I did for fun. So it's almost 4 years old now, and I don't treat it like that anymore. I treat it very seriously. Like it is the vehicle that I use and choose to use as my growth and strategy in my business. And so before, those two things were very separate. My podcast was one entity and my email list was another. And so I didn't really share about the podcast that much on there or consistently. And so I didn't have them working together. I was creating separate content for the email list, separate content for the podcast, and not really seeing them together. So that has saved me time. It saved me, you know, brain space and trying to think of, that's a lot of content to be thinking up when you're treating them as two separate things. And so now I can really play one off the other, and they both help the other and support the other, whereas they weren't before. So it was definitely kind of a time suck and also just not fun, not a great place. But sometimes when you're in it and you're doing all the things, you're in your business, you don't see those mistakes. And so I'm glad that I noticed that. I'm glad that that light bulb moment went on for me because it just has been a lot easier to maintain.
Good, good, good. So now you've created this collaboration between email and podcast. You know, some people do social media and podcast, social media and emails, but for you, it is podcast and emails. And you've created this synergy. But now I want to know how it works for you. Because, for example, I have a podcast and an email list. Then I still have like a newsletter for the podcast. And so with the newsletter for the podcast, a lot of times I just take like what would have been like the show notes and send it out, right? Just so that people can see that content and then go to the podcast. But for my main email list, what I will usually do, and it's not consistent, would be, let's say I just tell people that I send an email about something else. Then at the bottom, I just be like, oh, if you want to find out how XYZ person did this, listen here, right? But you seem to have a very strategic way of combining, you know, the podcast and the emails and then ensuring that you're not, you know, you're not overburdened with creating a whole lot of content. So how does that really work?
What my system looks like is that my podcast episodes get released every Tuesday. So I have an email that goes out every Tuesday. And I use ChatGPT a lot, but I do caution, like, you need to read it, you need to train it. You can't just plug it in and just copy paste. So I do use it, though, to help kind of generate those ideas and get me started. But I'll say, hey, here is my episode. Here's my show notes. I want an email that's kind of a teaser that shares some bits, gives some value, but then, like you said, is the PS or is the, hey, also, if you want the full details, you want to dive in, this topic is for you, head over to the show because that's where the episode is. So that always comes out on Tuesdays. And then usually on Wednesday or Thursday, I send another email and that might be different. That might be a nurture. That might be, I have a new course coming out, something like that, more businessy maybe, or just an update of what's happening in life or check in with my people. But so Tuesdays are always going to be the email that says there's a new podcast episode out and it's going to give you a little bit of what it is. It's going to give you a little tip. But then to get the full thing, if it's aligned with you, you go to the episode. But that's how I work it so that they're both happening. But that Tuesday email, that one is always going to be a podcast episode.
I see. So basically, the email is teasing the podcast. It's not necessarily giving them what the full version is, but it's supposed to be like a click driver, sending traffic over to the podcast.
Yes, I just keep it short, but that's how I function as well. Like if you send me a super long email, I'm probably deleting it. I'm going to look at it and be like, I'm not reading that. I'm deleting that. I know some people like the deep dive long ones, and sometimes I will share a long story or something, but usually I just like the give me the nuts and bolts and straight shoot it. So that's how that's my style. So then that's how I treat my email list too. So I don't go into tons of detail about the episode, but I give enough where it's like you can tell quick if it's a topic or a story that you want to hear about, and then you can go there. But I don't like wasting people's time or beating around the bush. So that's just my own style and take. So that's how I try to treat it so that it's also quick and that I can still manage it because I can't write out, you know, super, super long emails multiple times a week. I don't have the time or bandwidth for that. So this style works for me and it's also the style that I like. So I guess if you're going to be on my email list, we have to kind of vibe in styles. And that's the good thing about having people like us, there's lots of us. And so you're not going to want to be on everybody's email list, but the style that fits yours will work for you.
Definitely. Definitely. And so I'm looking at it. I know you mentioned like you train ChatGPT to turn those show notes into like the emails, but then you still go ahead to read it and all of that. So in putting in the prompts, I'm just wondering, do you have like maybe a formula where you're like, maybe there's something you're looking out for? Maybe a very juicy bit or a story, or you just know the parts that would be like good teasers based on, you know, the fact that you know your audience.
Definitely looking for in the show, like what is the best tip? What's the juiciest tip, like you said? So sometimes with ChatGPT, I don't put the whole show notes in, but I probably typed up some notes for myself to go off of. I don't like to have a full script. I like my podcast to sound more conversational and laid back. So, but I did probably make an outline. So I might copy that and put it in a ChatGPT and say, hey, this is what I went off of, and see what I get. But you're right. I do look for, if I just know what the best tip was or the main theme, or if I had a guest on and there's some really impactful part of their story, definitely that's what I'm going to highlight in the email, because if it stands out to me, it's probably going to stand out to somebody else too. So if it made an impact while I was listening, that's going to be a good sign that it would snag somebody else's attention too.
All right. So that's great. So now I'm wondering, right, with this method you're currently doing, it wasn't what you always used to do. So was there something that happened that made you decide that, you know what, this is how I'm going to do the synergy? Or was this something you just tried once and then you were like, I like the way this is working out and I want to do more of this? How did this particular process come about from, you know, doing it separately to actually getting to the point where it's like, I'm saving time, and I'm still achieving my goals.
A little bit of it started because there's only so much time in a day. And a lot of this I was starting when I was still full-time teaching and had three little babies in diapers at home. So that did play a factor in like, hey, we need to look at this system and we need to rework it because there's only room for so much. So that was part of it. Kind of taking a step back and looking at your plate, and we're quick to add things to it. Like, yep, I need an email list. Yep. Need a podcast, need to post on social media. And we kept putting things on our plates. But if we never stop to pause for a second and say, does all of this still need to stay here? Is this really the best way? Is this the best bang for our buck? Does this make sense still? Maybe it did for one season, but does it now in this season? And that's kind of what I did, like a reflection moment of figuring that out. And also, it progressed when I decided to take my podcast more seriously. I had kind of caught myself and realized that I was still hoping that people at work wouldn't listen to my show or think, you know, I didn't want them to know I had a podcast. And there was that inner work that you have to do. If that's happening to you, you got to kind of take a step back and wonder why. Because the whole point of having a podcast or having an email list and a business is that people see you and you're visible and people get to hear your story. And so if you are in a season where you're like, I know I want to do this podcast or I want to have this email list, but man, I hope that this person and this person and my coworkers aren't on it and don't ever see it and don't ever ask me about it, which is how I felt during a season. We have to do some inner work. There's some inner work missing in that there's a lack of confidence maybe in our message, in our alignment. Something is off. So all of that, I guess, long answer for your short question, is kind of what guided me into saying, no, I'm going to share about my podcast. The other thing is we have a podcast and we think if we build it, they will come. Like the movie Field of Dreams. I don't know if you've ever seen that with Kevin Costner. It's like, if you build it, they will come. That is not true. We have to tell people about our podcast. So if you are going to spend the time to make a podcast, absolutely, your email list should see it. Your people on your email list signed up and chose to be there. So they're the people that want to know when you have something come out that's new, especially a podcast episode, because they chose to be in your community. So that was kind of a light bulb moment of like, why am I hiding this from them? I should email them every single time I have an episode come out. They're here because they signed up to be here. So definitely send that out.
And yes, definitely. Like if you choose to do it, you should tell people about it, because I don't know if this thing happens to you where, you know, you were maybe hesitating on putting something out there and you finally put it and then maybe you get like a reply or a comment and somebody is like thanking you and it's like, this is what I needed right at this time, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's the best. And then you just know.
Definitely, definitely. So you put it out there. So I definitely agree with that. Someone will think like, okay, the podcast is like, you know, the main thing. It's like your jam where you're speaking because that's like your thing, right? And someone would think like it's the main thing. And then there's like the email list. So what you usually see out there is people use like the email list. So they grow their email list and then use the email list to push people to like the podcast. But you seem to be using the podcast to grow the email list and using the email list to increase listens and downloads to the podcast. Is that how it is?
Definitely. I think that's what's going on in my business for sure, because in my podcast, I always have links to free resources and things that lead you to my email list as well. So I definitely have that going on for sure.
So that's like a double prong engagement, because people are being engaged from reading from you and then they are being engaged from listening to you. And so it's like now they know you even more because they've gotten to read and they've gotten to listen. And so maybe when they are reading your emails, they could even probably be hearing it like in your voice, because I mean, they've listened to episodes and, you know, all of this. Now I'm wondering, this is what you have on a regular, you know, day to day. What of when you go into like launch mode, aside your regular weekly schedule, how does this, you know, podcast email system work? When you're trying to like do a sale, say it's like Black Friday season, or you're trying to do launch a new product or relaunch a program, how do you, you know, intertwine everything that you have going on currently?
In that type of situation, I try to be really intentional with my podcast episode. So I try to think about, with the launch, is there an episode that makes sense that goes along with that? Is there advice or tips or tricks or a story that would make a good podcast episode that leads people into saying, hey, and if you want more than this, or if you want my help with this, I have this course coming up. I have this, you know, X, Y, and Z coming up. So I try to be intentional about the podcast episodes matching that. And then, of course, if the podcast is going out, the emails are also going out. But in a launch situation, I'll have a lot more emails going out. And sometimes in my email list, I'll just tell them, you're going to get more emails than you normally get. I promise we'll go back to regular scheduled things next week. But, you know, just know you're going to be seeing more of me in the emails this week, because I appreciate that as a consumer. It doesn't feel good to feel like you're getting spammed with too many emails, and I'm not sending that many, but I'm probably sending 4 in a week, maybe up to 7 in the next, you know, 10 to 14 days if there's an actual launch going on, versus just the 2 per week. So it's going to look different in that regard, where I'm going to be really intentional about the podcast episode, but also then send more emails as well.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, you talked about using ChatGPT to assist you. And I'm wondering, are there other tools or processes you use to, you know, plan and schedule this podcast repurposing to ensure that you remain consistent both with the podcast and the emails?
Sure, definitely ChatGPT can get things started and moving faster, get ideas flowing. I typically can take a podcast episode and kind of the bullet main points of it and start creating content, especially emails. So that is something that if you can work a little bit ahead, is a lot easier to see. Sometimes we're working in real time, which I've definitely been in seasons like that as well. But if you're utilizing these things as a very serious business tool, then hopefully you can be a week, 2 weeks, maybe even a month ahead. And if you are, that's where you can get really intentional. That's where you can take a podcast episode and maybe there's 3 really great tips. Maybe that's 3 emails. Maybe that's the theme, so to speak, for your next 2 weeks or a month. And that's what goes into your emails. So I don't know if I have other tools that I use. Well, I should say my email list I have on Flowdesk. So that has automation. So I can batch, because I work in batches. My energy ebbs and flows, and I just like to, when I'm ready to be creative, I can be super efficient and get a lot of things out. And then there's times where I'm not, and it's tough to push it, and it doesn't really pan out for me. So I definitely do batching. So tools that help me schedule it, Flowdesk I use for my emails, and I schedule it in that way so that I can make a bunch at once and get them scheduled so that they go out for me when I want to. And then I have my podcast on the platform called Buzzsprout, and that is where I can also get everything ready for that and schedule it to go out as well when I want it to go out. So everything will match and go out when it's supposed to and all work together.
Definitely, definitely. And yes, I love Buzzsprout as well. All right, so let's look at the results, you know, from this particular process. I mean, you've been doing it for a while, so it has to be working and doing something for you in terms of your goals, because you're still doing it. So during this process of, you know, creating this podcast email system, was there anything that surprised you the most during this process? Or were there highlights that you noted, maybe things that you noted is like, oh, I did this and this happened, or, you know, this was like a ripple effect of, you know, just following this method?
We've touched on it a lot, but the time that it can save you, the efficiency that you can do by pairing the two together, even if you don't have a podcast, if you start to pair your emails with your social media content, things like that, it all overlaps. And, you know, I've been given advice that I really think is great, that if you're not sick of your message and telling your story and sharing your message, then you haven't done it enough. So most of us think that we made a post about one thing, we sent an email about one thing, and now we can't send that again, or we can't post that again. But the reality is nobody is watching us as closely as we are and think, and that we need to repost that. We need to reword that and send it again and again. So I know that helps me a lot with my emails, is it's just like social media, it's just like the podcast. You're saying things in a new way. You're telling a new story about it. And ultimately, the theme or the actual content is still the same. The tip is still the same, but it's being delivered in a different way. And sometimes that's going to speak to someone new or hit home for someone that it didn't the first time around. So just not trying to recreate the wheel all the time, I think, is a big lesson as well.
All right. And I'm curious, how has this impacted your engagement in terms of like maybe open rates, click rates? Have you noticed any trends or patterns?
Oh, sure. Definitely my emails, like I said, get open a lot more than, let's say, views on social media or things like that. So I know that they're being open. They're not just being sent to the trash because of the open rates and things that I can see that are pretty high as far as that goes. And then my podcast downloads and things like that, you can see. And a lot of times you can see where they're listening. And so that kind of supports each other, I guess. That data supports each other, that there are listeners growing, but then there's also people being added to the email list. So sometimes it's slow, but it's a process and it's definitely happening. So it's nice to see both of those numbers going up.
Okay. And now I'm wondering, right, because you're using the email list to drive people to the podcast. In terms of conversions, I'm wondering, because you're sending people from the podcast to the email list, from the email list to the podcast, right? And email list seems to be majoring on, you know, driving downloads and listens. So would you say the email list is driving conversions, or most of those conversions in terms of like people signing up for programs is coming from the podcast?
I think there's a mix of both. And I say that because I can see people being added to my email list is growing. The amount of downloads the show is seeing is growing. So it seems like it's kind of working together like I, you know, plan it to. So sometimes that's really slow. Sometimes it's one or two people that week, but it is kind of matching in that regard of both increasing in downloads and email subscribers. So based on that and the open rates and the downloads that I can see on my podcast stats, it seems like they're working together and increasing each other.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, what would be the one piece of advice you would give somebody who wanted to, you know, try out what it is that you have going on today?
Sure. I would just say, obviously, then that means you have a podcast. And so when you make your next episode, go ahead and turn it into an email. It can be where you drop the best tip and say, for the other two tips, head to the show, or just kind of a teaser like that and see what happens. You might be surprised that a lot of us with podcasts hear time and time again, you have a podcast? I didn't know you have a podcast. So you can't talk about it in enough different places. And so make sure that your email list is a place. And if you're trying to start both, go easy on yourself. It's a learning curve. There's a lot of choices and things to decide on. But, you know, people like the two of us can help navigate those decisions, coach you through that. So it's always a great time to reach out to someone. Or a lot of people have a free downloadable with some advice. Like I have a free podcast setup guide you could download, things like that, to really speed that up. Because Google is nice, but it's also extremely overwhelming and will give you 100 options under the sun, and you just don't really know what's going to be best. And so when someone that you can talk to has already done it, that's really a great place to start.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. So do you think someone growing an email list first would help grow their podcast audience? Or do you think, I know you said that they should just go ahead and start, but do you think it would be advisable to grow the email list, then start the podcast, or you can start both of them, considering you're using the email list to push people to the podcast?
I try to work in alignment. So I think whatever you feel most excited about, if you love writing and you feel really more excited about the email list, start there. Both of them, either one is going to be great for the other. So if you already have an email list that's growing, you have lots of people on it that just love getting your content, they're going to be really excited if you then start a podcast, and they're probably going to be your first listeners. But I think the same can be said if you feel more excited about getting that podcast going and speaking and creating all that, then when you say, hey, I also have an email list, I'm going to start dropping extra stuff on there. I'm going to start, you know, putting things like that. I think then those listeners are going to be like, oh, maybe I want that too. So I think there's no wrong way to go here. I'm a big believer in doing what lights you up, trying to work in alignment. I think things just happen and work out best when you do that and work from that place. So I say go wherever your heart is, wherever your energy is, because that's what's going to work best for you.
Definitely. And if you could give somebody one email marketing advice, maybe your favorite email marketing advice, what would that be?
My favorite email marketing advice, and this is coming from a very novice person, I just do it and learn as I go. But the best advice, and I mentioned it earlier, was talk to your email list like you would talk to your best friend, like you would text your best friend. That's kind of how I live. And I think that's why my open rates are high, because it feels conversational. It feels like we're just one-on-one talking. So I don't say, hey, you guys, or hey, y'all, like that indicates that there's a crowd and there's lots of us. But when you're opening an email, it's just you and the person you got it from. So I really stick to using words like you and, you know, that type of thing, so that it feels like I'm talking to one person. I'm talking to a friend, and that's the advice that stuck best for me and my style.
Yes, yes, yes. I totally love this one, because I mean, sometimes when people forget that it's just you at the end of the day, yes, you're sending to like your whole list that could be 1,000, 100, 10,000. And people forget that, you know, it's just you and the person that's going to read it on the other end, one-on-one. And it's like, oh, I'm sending an email to this list of people. And it's like, hey, you guys, you know. But when you have it that it's you and that one person that's going to be reading it per time, I think that really changes the dynamics, and definitely some more conversational emails. I think we need more of that and all of that good stuff. And I'm just wondering, you use ChatGPT to help with your emails. How do you ensure that you maintain your brand voice and tone, even though you're getting help with, you know, ChatGPT?
For sure. That's really important to me, because if you listen to my podcast and then you go to my email list and we sound totally different, that's not good, right? So that is a really important thing. That's why I make sure I read it all and I edit it. But also I kind of work with ChatGPT and I take the time to say, make it sound like me. And when it throws things out like, you know, coffee and leggings, I'll say, nope, let's remember, I don't drink coffee, but I love an iced mocha. Or I don't wear leggings, but I love sweatpants, baggy sweatpants. So I take the time to tell ChatGPT that kind of stuff about me. And I don't think we think about that, but it's very intelligent and like will almost recalibrate when you say, that doesn't sound like me. I'm more friendly. I'm a millennial. I, you know, give it some of those personality pieces and you'll be surprised at what it does for you when you take the time. And one thing I love to ask it is say, I'll type and I'll say, I'm ready to write a show title and show notes or an email. I'm ready to write an email about my podcast. What do you need to know from me to do a really great job with this? And it'll send you like four questions. And if you just answer the four questions, you're going to get a lot better information back and a starting point. Like I use it as a starting point. I don't want anyone to use it as like their end line, because I think you're going to lose your voice and your style if you do that. But it's a great place to start and it speeds things up so much, especially when we're busy entrepreneurs short on time.
Definitely. And speaking of time, before we wrap up, there are two important things I need you guys to know about Candace, who has been a podcast host and mentor. Number one is that if you want to start appearing on other people's podcasts, she has a guide that will help you to start booking appearances. I mean, that's like one of my goals for the year. And I've gotten like really great advice from Candace since I started this podcast. And now I want to really leverage on, you know, showing up on other people's podcasts. So she has a free guide. Go download it. You can find it on her website, CandaceDudley.com. I will be adding the link in the show notes. Then if you're starting your podcast and you don't know what to use, she actually has like a starter bundle. I think it goes for like $7, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. She has a starter bundle that will just put you through everything you need to know to start. So you don't have to crack your head and wonder, oh, what microphone, what software, what tools, you know, all those things that we think about. You can definitely just check her website. It will be in the show notes. There's a lot of amazing things to learn in this particular episode. And if you don't walk away with any other thing, I want you to know and implement conversational emails, just like Candice has told us, and it has helped her engagement go up there. So write like you're writing to one person and make it conversational. So Candice, is there any upcoming project or initiative you're currently working on that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Sure. I have a podcast guesting course. So it's 3 videos, very bite-sized, actionable, where if you work through them, you should go from basically 0 to booking yourself and just nailing your talking points and speaking on podcasts as a way to network and grow your business. So I have that coming out, I'm sure, before this episode will air. And that's a great place to start and a way to dip your toe in if you want like a lot of support, some good information, but in a sort of DIY, go at your own pace.
Definitely. So all of these you can find once again, once you go to her website. For all things podcast, guesting, guest appearances, starting your own podcast, remember, she's our podcast host and mentor. So there's a whole lot you can learn from her. Listen to the Better Brief podcast and of course, follow her on social media. You can also find her on Instagram, still the same at, I think, Candice Dudley. That is her Instagram handle as well. And you can find her on Threads and everything will be linked in the show notes. I'm really excited for this episode and I'm glad that you took us behind the scenes and shared your journey and insights with us. Now, just before we drop off, I will just ask one final question and we'll end it there. Looking back at your email marketing journey, what is one thing that has happened that made you maybe reconsider email marketing, scream internally, or maybe almost give up on the process? Sometimes we think that email marketing is all perfect, but we like to take open rates confessions where we talk about the messy middle and, you know, the kind of things that people don't go sharing in public. Do you have any of those?
Sure. The thing that sticks out is times when I've taken advice from all of the different email marketing gurus out there, and there's tons. And that's great because it will fit us and each one will work for different people. But taking advice that didn't feel good to me and trying to make it work for me and doing it anyways, that has always flopped. That has always been like, after the fact, like, oh, why did I do that? I knew in my body, I knew in my intuition that that was not my style or that didn't feel good to me. And so I've learned to not do those things and just that there's going to be advice about everything, especially email marketing. You don't have to take all of it. You get to choose the pieces that feel good to you.
Thank you. And with that, we have come to the end of today's episode. Don't forget to check the show notes, connect with Candice. Until next time, this is Email Marketing Experiments. Listen, subscribe, and of course, share. Thank you so much, Candice. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was such a fun talk.
You're welcome.